Tanya, welcome to Racing Only Better as we preview Thursday at York. Day two of the Dante Festival. What a day one we had too, lads. The drama. I mean, particularly, I don't need to tell you guys, just amazing what happened with that horse in that race. Quite something on day one. Anyway, to mark Thursday's card, we welcome back Kevin Blake. Kev, how are you?
Excellent, you.
Tony Gass.
After that day one action.
Oh, I mean, what? I mean, listen, lads, I don't want to get into it here, but whoa, amazing. How are you, Tony Calvin?
I'm devastated after what I backed. You traded really short on Wednesday. I'm reeling.
It's a tough blow to swallow. Tough pill to swallow. As for you, Dan Barber, well, we don't need to say any more, really, but you're okay today, Dan? You're good? You recovered?
Yeah, the not getting beaten at 101 again was another blow, wasn't it, on that first day? Must soldier on, though.
Listen, soldier on. We're scrapping for the money. It's like it never happened, lads. It's like it never happens as we approach day two. And we kick off with the 140 on the card, the Matchbook Betting Exchange Handicap Stakes. It's a 5-furlong sprint, Kevin Blake. Copper Knight is your 5-1 favourite at the time of recording. You've got Count D'Orsay at 6-1. Autumn Flight with Holly Doyle on board at 7s. You've got Joal at 10-1. Dave Dexter 10-1. And you can have what you like bar that. Okay, a 5-furlong sprint to kick us off. Fast action on day two. Who's going to come home in front, Kevin Blake?
Yeah, I find myself going down a similar road to what I did yesterday in the sprint handicap with Gulliver, who, as we know, of course, won doing absolute handstands at a big price. He said,
fantasy.
Gulliver travels.
Yes. Positive mental attitude, that. Copper Knight, I think, look, has an not dissimilar profile in that. He's marched back down the weights. You know, this never ceases to amaze just how quickly the British handicapper will drop these sprinters when they're running okay. Like, you know, geez, it'd be a long time getting dropped as much in Ireland as these horses do in England in no time at all. You know, it was only, you know, he reappeared last year, went very close off a mark of 102, went up to 106. And he was banging away quite well all season, and his two runs this season have been okay. And all of a sudden, he's down at 84. You know, it's some drop. And in fairness to him, I think Wiley went very well fresh last year. I think last year was a bit, you know, we all know it was a bit unusual the way it panned out. And if you look back at previous years, he seems to build with his first couple of runs and his third run of the season. You know, he's often seemed to near enough peak on his third run. And he seems to be building towards a bit of a peak in his last two runs. And he just might be ready to strike off 84, which looks very attractive, obviously, compared to his best form from last year even. And a little bit like Gulliver yesterday, you look at his form at York and, you know, it jumps out a bit. I said 4 wins there. I think he's run there 12 times. That's a good old strike rate for this type of horse. Draw, like he's in the middle, which, you know, would give options at least. And I know that it's not an All-Ireland price or anything, but, you know, he does tick all the boxes I tend to look for in races like this. He looks to be building towards a big one. The mark is right. The track is right. As long as it doesn't deluge with rain, which, looking at the forecast, it seems to be not as stark a forecast as it was. So as long as it's just the easy side of good, I think he'll be fine on that. And yeah, I'm hoping he'll go very close.
Okay, all right. So 5-1 at the time of recording. Strong shout for Kev from Copper Knight following the Gulliver experiment yesterday, which we all know how that ended up. Tony Calvin, who do you like, please?
Not going to have a bet in the race at the prices, but I quite like Copper Knight's stablemate who finished 3/4 of length in front of it at Chester last week, Count D'Orsay. I mean, the angle into this race is all the pace is drawn middle to high. You've got pace in 8, 9, 12, 16 and 18. So I think this could be prime for a closer from a high draw, and Count D'Orsay in 14 fits that bill. Obviously coming off a really good run at Chester last week from off the pace. He's got some really good course form. He's got form on good and soft ground. And, you know, twice off this mark, he's gone very, very close to a mark of 99. That may suggest he hasn't got anything in hand, but I think conditions are going to suit. And off the same mark as when just touched off at Catterick last October, and he's got some really good form earlier on as well. He came from the dark on soft ground at Haydock in the autumn as well. I thought Count D'Orsay was the one I was looking at here, but I was a little disappointed by the price of 6-1. He's 6-1 across the board, so you know, maybe I was being a bit optimistic again, but if I was going to have a bet, it'd probably be an each way with the extra places count Dorsey. But if I do, it'd be very small.
Yeah, lovely extra places to say on the Betfair Sportsbook. And come around about 6-1 as well. Just, well, depending on the market on the day, obviously that could get a little bit bigger, but an each way squeak there for TC and Count Dorsey. Well, the two stable mates have been mentioned. Dan, are you going from one from a different stable, or do you agree with either of the two boys?
I'm sticking in Yorkshire, not the same stable. I quite like Joao in this for Dodsey and Callum Rodriguez. A powerful travelling 5-furlong specialist who started his season in 2020 with an absolute bang. Back-to-back handicaps at Doncaster and Ascot. The Ascot race was a really strong piece of form and he won it easily. Watch back the Beverly reappearance. Now, I know he won first time out last season, but I don't think he was tuned up this time around. It was a $6,000 race at Beverly. This is worth $12,000 to the winner. Suspect this was their plan all along, and he wasn't given a hard time and ran as if he needed it. An even spread of pace in this, and lots of pace. Now, it can do your head in, this York 5-furlong course, because sometimes it seems, well, it doesn't matter how hard they go, you can't get into it from behind. And then on occasions, there seems to be a complete pace collapse. I'm hoping it's the latter here, with the likes of Midwinster, Autumn Flight, and many others. Queen's Order, Musica, have all gone from the front, and Kind Review too. So they spread across the track. It should be a fair race, and I'm just hoping Joao is spot on after that reappearance and can get back on the up, because he looked a coming force in the sprint scene last season.
Okay, 10-1 at the time of recording then for Joao, for Michael Dodds. Good stuff, lads. That's the 5-furlong sprint out of the way, the opener on the card. We'll move on to the 2-10, please. The Albasti Equiworld Dubai Middleton Filly Stakes. Just over a mile and a quarter of this one, 2:10 on your card. Queen Power is a pretty strong favourite here, 15-8 for Sylvester D'Souza and Michael Stout. You've got Passion for Aiden O'Brien and Ryan Moore at 5-2. Silence, please. Jessica Harrington is in form at the moment at 4-1. Cabaletta, 13-2 for Roger Varian. A Shamad for Ralph Beckett at 8-1. And you've got Freya or Freja at 12-1 for Mark Johnson. TC, it's a short enough field here. I'm with Queen Power. I think she's the one to beat. I think she's a worthy favourite. But she is short enough, 15-8. Who do you like?
I think Passion should be favourite.
Do you?
Obviously, yeah. Obviously, the rating suggests that. Obviously, the big issue with backing Passion is that all her best form has been over further. She won her Group 3 over a mile 6, and her best runs have been over a mile 4 on soft ground in the Irish Oaks and the Ascot race at the end of the season, the fillies and mares. But there's plenty of pace on here. Shamard and Freya are going to go forward. And even when Passion won at Nace last year, it'll be over a mile 6, as I said. She was ridden aggressively there. So I think she's an aggressive ride from Ryan. Just maybe chasing up Shamard and Fraser off the front end and maybe just kick from home up the straight. I think the galloping track will suit Passion. And I think for all the trip doubts you've got, I think 5-2 probably should be nearer 6-4, to be perfectly honest with you, looking at the depth of this field and the makeup of the race. So if they get more rain on Wednesday through Thursday, then so much the better for a horse that really likes testing ground and put the emphasis more on stamina. So yeah, a rare short price play for me at 5-2. Passion.
Okay, Tony, lovely
how
stuff.
How are you reading the latest forecast, Tony?
Well, we were expecting a lot more rain starting on Tuesday. The rain was dissipating a bit, and I asked someone on Twitter just before I came on here, and I said, "What's the weather looking at in York, people?" And I got, it's pissing down and it's like gloriously sunny. So I'm obviously being had over. I don't think there's various different forecasts. They're all predicting various amounts of rain. So I'm working now on the basis of good to soft. Hopefully a bit more, but it all, they were due to catch a load of rain on Monday into Tuesday, but they didn't materialize either. So in short, no idea whatsoever.
Yeah, but by the sounds of it, it's very Irish. Like,
butter on this week, will they?
It's very localised, and they can either get it or miss it just as easily. So hard to know.
Yeah, well, the case is pretty strong then. If it does get to really testing conditions, why Passion, whose best form is over further, might prevail in a stamina test, Dan Barber. I'm still sticking with Queen Power here. Who do you like?
Well, in your camp, Hubert, you've got the fact that she's up and running for the season. She's clearly in form, and yeah. The fact she ran well against the horse that Tony and I fancied, and Tony Knapp this week at Newmarket Lady Beaufort. But it's a fairly long losing sequence now, and she's pulled her chances away in races in the interim. Recent form figures are all frame finishes rather than wins. I was taking on Silence Please, actually, because he'd know the filly better than I would. But looking at the lines and watching the vids back, you've got that second to Tiger Moth, which obviously reads very well. That horse was runner-up in a Melbourne Cup. Then you look back as well at that win last season at Navan. Also first time out. Bear in mind she won on a debut as well, so being fresh is clearly no problem for her. She edged out One Voice there, the stablemate of Jesse Harrington's, who went on to finish second in a Nassau. So I like her form lines, and I like the fact she's got a good record fresh, but I was hoping Kev, with his intimate knowledge of the Irish form, but would be able to shove me a bit more firmly in that direction.
Okay, Kev, take it away. What do you think for Silence, please?
She's my pick, Dan, and not a big strong one now, but it was interesting. She was to make her reappearance there in the Blue Wind the other day, which she would have looked to have had a very big chance in, and they pulled her out. They gave the reason as the ground, it was yielding the soft there. She ran very well on yielding the soft at Nace last year. So, you know, they obviously believe she wants nicer ground. I suppose this forecast, as TC has mentioned, you know, it's hard to know how much they're going to get. They'll be hoping it doesn't rain that much. But I think she's got a great chance because, as Tony mentioned, there should be a good even pace here, hopefully a little bit better. And she might just be able to cope with this trip a small bit better than Passion. I do think Passion will want a longer trip and to show her very best. And Silence Please, I think she's going to improve again this season. I wouldn't forget about Shamad now for Rafe, but that potential company on the front end from Frasia is putting me off. Queen Power, I don't really like her. She promises more than she delivers. If she were mine, I'd be trying her at a mile. I'd be trying her back at a mile rather than going up as they are here again. So that's my read in the race. It's not a bullish shout now, but Silence Please, I'm hoping we'll run a big one.
Okay, that's two.
Just one observation again, just quick observation.
Yeah.
It did, I thought through, I don't remember Aidan having many runners in this race. And I look back, I think he won the race about 16 years ago. I could only find one or two horses that he's ever even run in it since. So it's not a usual target for him on these shows. That may be completely erroneous and not matter, but it did strike me as being unusual for him to even have a runner in the race.
Yeah, well,
one thing to say about Passion is that it's interesting that they brought her back as a four-year-old. Because, you know, she's won a group three, she's group two place, she's group one place. You know, you look at her form and you say, if you looked at her form at the end of October last year, you'd say, yeah, we've done a good job with this filly. I think we've maximised her based on the level of form she's shown. You know, she's the full sister to Capri, you know. The fact that they're bringing her back strongly suggests that they think there's unfinished business and that she can win a group one. But they wouldn't bring her back for any other reason than to win a group one. So if you're at her camp, that's some encouragement, but I just feel that if she is going to improve, you're probably going to see it over a mile and a half, or maybe even in those those mile six fillies races that we have a bit of later in the season.
Okay, let's move on to the 2:40 on the card, the Matchbook Betting Podcast splitters handicap stakes. Class two. Lovely bunch. Just over 7 furlongs the race.
Ty Chaparral running in this.
Is who? 2:40 on your card. The betting is Matthew Flinders. Matthew Flinders is in there 5-1 alongside Artistic Rifles at 5-1 favourites at the moment. Disputing favouritism. Brunch is in there 13-2. King Otaker at 7-1. Johan Tens, and you're going to have 10-1 really bar those. Okay, kick us off, please, Dan Barber, on the third race on the card. Again, it's a wide open with 5-1. And your market leaders at the moment, who do you like, please?
Totally ridiculous, this probably, but you draw up a shortlist for these sort of races. I think you can make a case for the three absolute rags. One of them's far more speculative than the others. That's Volatile Analyst, tapping into the fact he's won first time out in both seasons. His form tailed off, but he's bred to stay a mile. Sire Distorted Humour was a miler. The Dam was a miler. His total guess up, but Breslin's claiming off him, so he's effectively running off 92. You might want to throw a win-only dart at him at an absolutely massive price. He'll be 50s plus on Betfair. But the one I prefer with the place terms is La Trinidad, who's likewise a biggest price. He's 25s, isn't he? Good York record, hit the frame in warm handicaps last season, including over this course and distance. He's had a tune-up run back at Ripper. Now, he has won first time out in the past, but a bit like we discussed with Joelle in that first race, I guess York was the aim rather than a reappearance at Ripon. The race was won by the Lincoln winner Artistic Rifles. It's a sound piece of form. And I just got the impression that La Trinidad was having something of a warm-up for a bigger target ahead. And I think the mark's fine, certainly if you're considering the place part of the each-way bet for sure. I think if he runs to his rating, he can be thereabouts. And I'm surprised he's as big as he is.
Okay, good stuff. Two big shouts there, 33s and 25s, which probably will drift and get bigger on the exchange, as Dan's mentioned. Kevin, who do you like in this one, please?
I like Uzo. Do you like Uzo here?
I like Uzo to drink, but are you talking about Uzo to drink, or do you want to back a horse called Uzo? I mean, Uzo is that Greek, or it's Greek, isn't it, or is it Italian?
It's Greek, I think.
Yeah, it's like a niece, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
I have a very strong negative reaction to Uzo, Hugh, because when I was but a very young adventurous teenager looking to get an old drink, my parents, who aren't big drinkers at all, used to have a couple of bottles of Uzo in the press
and
come back from holidays. And that was my only option. And oh Christ, it's horrible stuff.
Yeah, if you've a bad experience with something like that, you'll never drink it again. You'll never like the taste of it again. Same with tequila. If you've a bad experience with tequila, young house, that's you gone for the rest of your life. But anyway, Uzo the horse. What's the positives?
he put up a career best there, winning over course and distance on ground with a good cut in it last October. Was given a good positive ride, ended up making much of the running. Battled away well and won by a neck. He made his comeback in the Lincoln, and like he ran well to a point. He wasn't given as aggressive a ride. You know, he was more so dropped into mid div, and it just wouldn't have been a surprise now if they kind of used it as a starting point. And coming back to York here, in a place they know he enjoys with ease in the ground, will hopefully be able to get forward under Ryan. I thought he had a good solid chance at a double figure price. Not a bullish one now, as you can probably tell, but having gone through it, he was the one that I ended up coming back to.
Okay, good stuff. At 11-1 at the moment. A little bit of support for him. It's coming from about 14s. Tony Calvin, right up your street. This, an old mile handicap, class 2. Give us a good on thing.
I have literally just had a missed call off Ryan, so we could have got him on live on the podcast talking about Passion and Uzo.
You would have loved that.
I had to mute him because obviously we can't delay the podcast for him. Probably take me another day to get hold of him. I like, and I was massively surprised by the opening price in some places on this horse. I really like Kinran. One firm opened up 16s and two firms opened up 14s, and I had him down as more of an 8 shot. So sportsbook are 10s. I think that's very fair, and I think you'll get a bigger win only on the exchange. But no, Kinran looks to have a massive chance to me. Ran a really good race at Chester last week from a high draw. Should have teed him up nicely for this. He's got loads of course form. He landed one of the gambles of 2019 at Ascot in a 7 furlong handicap off a £2 higher mark than this. So I think he's handicapped to go really well. He's ground versatile. The Ascot run did come on soft ground. So if they do get a lot more rain, then I think that's probably in his favour. But he's got fast ground, good ground form. He's got two really good runs at this track over course and distance. In fact, they're two of his better runs. The best one being Ascot. I literally had him down as third or fourth favourite, 8-1. And I think you're going to get 12-1 plus on the exchange. And if you want the safety net of each way places for an extra terms, the 10s on the sports are still acceptable as well. So, Kinran for me. I really like that.
Excellent. Okay, good stuff. Plenty of options of variety among the picks there. So best of luck with that. Move on to the 310, please. The Albasti Equiworld Dubai Dante Stakes. Group 2, a mile and a quarter here, just over. And High Definition is your 5-2 favourite for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. Gear Up for Mark Johnson, 9-2. Royal Champion, 9-2. Hurricane Lane for Charlie Appleby is in there at 11-2. You have Alan Kerr at 8-1 for William Haggis. Megalan for John and Teddy Golson is at 10-1, and you can have what you like by the rest. Jim Bulcher is flying, visiting here as well, interestingly enough. Right, Kevin Blake, the Dante, kick us off here. High Definition, is this a good thing at 5-2? Our listeners want to know.
Oh, I tell you what, good race. Will have a feral impact on the Derby market, you'd imagine. High Definition is going to be a big focus point. Unbeaten last year, exciting win in the Beresford. In that he didn't look like he was going to win pretty much anywhere, bar about 10 yards from the line. And look, he's going to be a middle distance type. They seemingly considered running him in the Guineas, but they probably made the right shout by going down the Derby trial route. I suppose the thing you'd say is he hasn't had a perfect prep. His bloods weren't quite right last week and he missed engagements at the weekend. And you know, you just get the feeling that they're probably taking a chance running here. In that, really? If they want to run the Derby, they pretty much have to run here. Okay. So that's never really ideal. Like, he looks to me like a horse that can certainly stay all of a mile and a half, maybe even further. And given the preparation that he's had, you know, are they, if it's not happening, I don't think they're going to be hammering the head off him, you know. So is it a good day to weigh in with him as the fav? I think probably not. You know, you'd be delighted if he won, and it'd be exciting if he did. But in terms of talking about this as a betting race, you would worry a little bit. He's got a Group 1 winner to contend with and gear up. Not trained by Jim Bulger, but bred by Jim Bulger. Just his fingers seem to be in every big race in recent weeks.
Yeah.
And he won that mile and a quarter Group 1, the Criterium de Saint-Cloud, and, you know, did it. I don't think it was a brilliant Group 1, but geez, he battled and he battled and he battled. He was very hardy that day on bad ground. And, you know, he looks like one that will certainly stay, you know, all of a mile and a half, and again, maybe even more. So, yeah, you know, I looked at this race and you go down through him and you're ticking him off, and like that, you're just saying, you know, mile and a half. Yeah, mile and a half. Oh God, you might be a ledger horse. And it's not a strong view now, but I just wonder, might there be some value in going with a slightly speedier type that might just be able to nip those Derby horses on this day over this trip? You know, they mightn't be the best horse in the fullness of time, but they might just have a little bit too much pace. And he's not a giant price or anything now, but Royal Champion has looked a lovely horse in the making, you know, very good on debut. You know, you could say he was a bit disappointing in the fielding, but he did shape well for a long way. And he just seems a pacier type of horse. You know, he's by Shamardale, family of Dubawi, and he just seems a bit pacier. You know, I don't think this fellow would be staying a mile and a half. I think this trip might be as far as he wants to go. So just as a potential alternative to the front two who I think are going to stay, and they're probably, you know, it isn't about Thursday for these ones. You know, they're looking ahead. So Royal Champion, with the benefit of race fitness, with the benefit of maybe a bit more natural pace, might just be able to nip them, but it's not a bullish view.
Well, just looking at his form as well, Kev, good to firm and good, you know, last couple of runs. I'm looking down the market at a Tony Calvin specialty here, Roman Emperor at 40-1. If you look at the last three ones, okay, 4-1-5 form figures, but soft, heavy, soft, has won a race on heavy ground. If it buckets down there, we do get that testing ground TC. With Holly Doyle on board, she has an awful habit, a brilliant habit if you're on them, of coming in, you know, to win races on huge outsiders in the field. Mm-hmm. I just look at Roman Emperor at 40-1 here, and I'd be prepared to go with him each way as my pick. Who do you like, TC?
It wouldn't be Roman Empire. I would humbly suggest he's in there to make the pace. So I think Aiden had 7 in here at the 5-day stage, and I'm pretty sure that one being there to ensure a good gallop. But there's 4 or 5 of these that like to go forward. You know, it's an interesting race. It's an interesting race, but it's my idea of punting hell. You know, a load of unexposed progressive 3-year-olds. The two form horses are making their seasonal debut, so we don't know exactly how they've gone. I did toy with, I'll try to get some info to on Uncle Bryn and to find out how worked up he got at Epsom, because there was a filly in the race and apparently he got he overextended himself a bit early in the preliminaries. But
I didn't know how it's the week. We're receiving a text from Tony Calvin asking about whether a horse was aroused or not.
anyway, so I should have answered that call from Ryan, actually, because he rode in that race and I wanted to find out just how worked up he got. I spoke to Andrew Black earlier and he said the horse always works like a good horse, and he didn't get back to me about the arousal stakes. But yeah, obviously the downside to Uncle Bryn is they had big hope for him this season, but you know, they kind of like blew it out of the water a bit in the Blue Ribbon Trial, but and the form's obviously not worked out. But against that, you are getting a decent price around about 12-1 plus in the marketplace. So I was toying with Uncle Bryn each way, but I just thought, no, it's really not my kind of race. Nothing really stands out to me. I won't be having a bit of this.
And listen, fair enough, TC. I mean, but like, you scoffed at my pick of Roman Emperor there as if Aidan O'Brien's pacemakers have never won a big race in their bloody lives. I mean, look at the Derby win from last year. Look at the Irish Derby win from 2 years ago. It has been known to happen, my friend. So don't be so dismissive of my little
I wouldn't have minded it, but you were calling him Roman Emperor as well.
That's your hearing, man. That's your hearing. My pronunciation is absolutely perfect, I can assure you, okay? Now, stand by. Is that
your Cockney accent, you? Apples and pears?
There's a couple of apples and pears there, but yeah. Just the old thing of fruit there.
Here's one for you, Hugh. I had a fella text me the other day and he said, "Jeez, Kev, I didn't know you were doing a podcast with Darrow Breed. He's very good."
Jesus Christ. I tell you what, if it was on his money, you could call me. I had no problem.
I tell you what, he was talking about me because he's a fat, bald, useless tool, isn't he?
Right, Dan Barber, give us a... He does, actually. You do. There's a bit of scenario there, Albert. Dan, give us your pick, please, if you don't mind.
So if this was Countdown, I'd be handing my notepad to Kev Blake now to show that I didn't copy his notes and that we came to the same answer independently. Because I think my thinking is exactly the same. High-definition Hurricane Lane look very likely Derby candidates. Gear up for me would be Favre Ledger, if we're talking at this point, as we are. One of them may have a bit... Yeah, maybe. You mean it? Oh, I get what you're saying there, Tony. Yeah.
took a second to drop there.
We're a little bit slow today, Daniel, are we?
I was baffled for a second when you threw that one at me.
You whisked that well.
Royal Champion, same as Kev. I won't dwell on it any longer. He's made the case, just the fact he might be a bit sharper. His debut form worked out well, as did the stronger race, the listed race he went for on his reappearance. I think stepping up to mile and a quarter, that extra toe that he's probably got might set him apart from the more 12 furlong, 16 furlong types.
Okay, lovely stuff, gents. Right, we move on to our final race on day two of the Dante meeting at York. It is the 3:40 on the card. And the British Stallion Studs EBF Westo Stakes. It's a listed race and it's 5 furlong sprint to finish off. So we started off with a sprint. We're going to finish with a sprint. Aklam Express is your 15-8 favourite at the time of recording. You got Winter Power for Sylvester Saluza and Tim Easterby at 11-4. Dexter Bell 4-1. Atlas Bay at 7s and you can have 10-1 bar. Okay. Tony Calvin, the 5 furlong sprint. I know you love good old sprint, TC. So get your opinion out of the way. Who do you like in this one?
I think the market's got this right, but very boringly. I think Aklam Express and Winter Power are the form horses. The latter's got some very good speed figures, Winter Power as well. And crucially, they're not penalised for their Group 3 and listed race successes. So I think they've got a lot going for them. The up-and-comer, the third one in the market, a 4-1 Dexter Bell, very impressive at Pontefract last time. Did get the run of the race from the front, jumped on the rail at Ponty, which is never a bad thing. I think it was a massive bias again that day for all of the card. So yeah, you can probably knock that, but she won in a decent time. The second's come out and won twice since, is now at 87. So form wise, you know, she's not that far off, but I think the price of 4-1 factors the potential in rather than reality. So I think Aklam Express and Winter Power will take a fair bit of whacking, but I think there's no real juice in their prices at the moment.
Okay, prime for a reverse forecast. So, Dan, who do you like then in this one? Do you agree that the top two in the market's the way to go here?
I can see a hole in Aklam Express, though. Just the fact he's got to reacclimatise after he's had a pretty good spell of things in Dubai. Whether Winter Power is just a 2-year-old and why he's wearing a tongue strap with two potential negatives, I thought, with that horse. I'm going to chance Dexter Bell. I thought she looked very, very quick when she won at Pontefract. She'd powered through a York race on her debut last season, probably wasn't strong enough to see things through, but she definitely saw them through at Ponty. I know it's been like Speedway there this season. You get the lead, you win the race. But the second and third who chased her have both won handicaps since. The runner-up won a handicap decisively, Barney's Bay, after winning a Southern Maiden next time. I think she could just be pretty good, and Clipper and Kevin Ryan tend to send their best horses to York. It's a track that they hold very dearly as local lads. And I say local lads, obviously Kev revealed yesterday he's a Golden Boy as well. Oh, I just think she could be pretty special, this filly, and it was such a massive step up from first run to second that I wouldn't be surprised to see a similar one, and she's getting £5 from the no penalties for her or anything like that.
Okay, lovely. One strong one for Dexter Bell. Last word to you, Kevin Blake, then. Come down on the side of whom, please?
Yeah, interesting race this now. And you know, I just mentioned one that hasn't been mentioned is Atalas Bay for Marco Botti. I've been watching this horse for a while now, and he's kind of looked like a ball of raw talent that's kind of could go one way or the other on you now. Like he's always looked very fast, little bit, you know, very raw now, and like he can run about a bit and do some silly things, and he's been funny in the stalls as well, but he just put it all together, I thought, at Nottingham on the return, and he just did things right, you know, probably for the first time in his career, and he was good and strong over the line now, and I know the form has taken a couple of little clips since then, but just the fact that he did everything so right now suggests that he might be able to start progressing and show a bit more, and, you know, this is stronger company. But I think, you know, being held up just in behind speed, which he's likely to be here, will be a help to him. And I just wouldn't be surprised if he's a nice horse. Now that he seems to be putting it together and doing things the right way up. So I'll give a mention to him now. He'd be my each way pick, I think, if the three places hold up, which they should.
Okay, excellent stuff, lads. Okay, racing at Salisbury as well. We covered it obviously on ITV, but we just concentrated on your card for today. All that's left then is to get your naps, please, on day two. We'll start off with you, Tony Calvin, your nap of day two at York, please.
I want to know what the ground is like before I back and nap Passion. So at the time of recording, I'm going to go with Kinran in the 240 at York.
Okay, Kinran, the 240 at York. Dan Barber, your nap, please.
I'm going to go race one, advantageous place terms, Joel, win and place, please, for Dodsey and Callum Rodriguez.
Lovely. Joel for Dan, race one. It's the 5 furlong sprint. Handicap, Kev, for you?
I'm taking Dan on, head to head on. No messing. Copper Knight, win only, up and down the lines.
Wow, Copper Knight. That's interesting, because I'm also taking you two boys on as well, and I'm having a swing for a horse that wasn't even mentioned. I'm going to go for Mulzim. 25-1 for Mike Murphy, 4 out of 5 at Suttles, 6 last time out. Yeah, Mulzim, win and place at 25-1 in the opening race, please, for me to get back on level terms with Mr. Tony Calvin. Yeah, right, gentlemen.
You have been on the Uzo and say, has he?
That price is more than your other 69 nap put together.
Yeah, well, I was going to go for the power double, Queen Power, Winter Power double, but I decided, no, I'm going for Mulzim. I'm taking a right swing this week. I must be hitting my head. I'd be concussed or something like that. But anyway, we'll see.
Take the hit, listeners. Take the hit, because when this horse wins, people will be saying, Jesus Christ, you can't do something. It's the first time you've had a horse at over 6-4 in a year. You do something.
I know. Right. Okay, lads, we'll leave it on that note. Enjoy day two. We're back to mark your card for day three as well. And yeah, thank you for all your listens over the last week or so. Racing Only Better returns tomorrow. Reminder to gamble responsibly as always. Enjoy the week.